Well, Chris, the first thing we should say right off the bat is the Women's Symposium involves not only women who serve in the Navy, but also women who serve in the Marine Corps and also who serve at sea in the U.S. Coast Guard. But the U.S. Navy contingent, at least from what we were able to see today at the Washington Hilton, has to be the largest contingent at this conference. Now, on the subject of sexual harassment and assault, Rear Admiral Michael Brown, who heads up the Navy's Personnel Readiness and Community Support Branch, says it's a matter of the highest priority.
As I think about managing my workplace and what it means to be ready to serve, I need a workplace that's one that's free of sexual harassment, right? That it needs to be a safe environment to work in, where I can know that I'm going to work and be able to do my job effectively. Sexual assault is, and I believe has been, a big problem in not only the Navy, but the other services as well. It's come to light recently following a series of articles of information put in the Washington Post and others where courageous victims have stepped forward describing the problem that exists out there, and from the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman through each of the service chiefs and within the organizations, the Department of Defense is taking this particular issue very seriously. As we look at the resiliency model, we talked about, you know, where does this fit in? If we're building a healthy workplace, there's no tolerance for issues that cause a degradation to the readiness of individuals. There's a vision that the Department of the Navy has put in place. You see it here before you. The Secretary of the Navy has stood up a Department of the Navy Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Office. Ms. Jill Loftus, who was formerly the Navy's Deputy AIG, is the SES who heads up that office. And on a weekly basis, OPNAV and the Marine Corps staff work together with her to lay out the strategy on how to look at the problem, how to gather the information, how to develop the strategy and the communication that will eliminate sexual assault across the Navy.
Teresa Scalzo is a civilian attorney in the Navy Judge Advocate General's Office, the JAG office. She's also a specialist in sexual harassment law. She told the SSLA audience that there are two ways in which the Navy handles sexual harassment and assault charges.
And under restricted reporting, the assault can be confidentially disclosed to three people, to a SARC, to a victim advocate, or to a healthcare provider. You can always speak confidentially to a chaplain, but that's because there's something called a privilege that protects what you say to a chaplain. And when you make a restricted report, there is no investigation, and this is all done at the victim's choice. The benefits of that, interestingly, were noted in a study funded by the Department of Justice, where a man named Kilpatrick, who wrote the famous study known as Rape in America, talked about how most sexual assault victims never receive medical care. And a result of that is that the long-term healthcare consequences to that victim, the long-term implications, are magnified because they've not had care, they've not had intervention. And he noted that by creating a way for victims to receive private care, especially when they don't want to engage in the criminal justice system, we help those victims heal and we help them become whole again. And he pointed out the military's restricted reporting system as a good system and one that should be studied to see how it is benefiting victims. We also have unrestricted reporting, and this is where the JAG Corps would come in. This mirrors our prior process, and it allows us to hold defenders accountable. It allows us to bring command involvement so that victims can be kept safe with things like protection orders.
So this is one of the most important problems in the Navy right now, Chris, and it's highlighted in particular by the fact that the U.S. Naval Academy just graduated the first class of midshipmen or of new officers, of which the women are going to be able to serve on U.S. submarines.
Yeah.
In the next year or so, the first group will be going to submarine school this fall, and once they complete their submarine training, they're going to be able to serve next to men in the very closed environment of a submarine.
Did they give you a sense? Did you get a sense as to do we have any sense of numbers?
Mm-hmm.
How much of a problem actually is this?
Well, here's the big challenge for people trying to deal with sexual assault and sexual harassment, Chris. A lot of times you get people who are victims of sexual harassment and sexual assault who, for very personal reasons, or in the case of the Navy, believe it or not, for career reasons, don't report it. And it's basically hard
career
to
reasons because if they report it, then they're seen as not a team player.
Right. Yeah. They're not seen as team players. And sometimes it all comes down to he said, she said. And disturbingly, they're talking about sexual harassment between men, sexually harassing other men. Yeah. But here are the numbers that we do have. 22% of women in the Navy say that they've been victimized by sexual assault or sexual harassment. Let's see. There are instances. Alcohol is often the reason that, or the subtext for sexual harassment cases in many cases. 50% of the cases that are reported happen in the barracks between shipmates who are in the same group, here's an interesting number: 70% is blue on blue. Now, what do you think that means?
Navy on Navy.
Navy on Navy, but specifically enlisted on enlisted because blue is the color of the uniform for the enlisted men. So 70% of the sexual harassment cases are in the enlisted ranks. So this sort of gives you a little bit of an idea of just how extensive a problem this is for the U.S. Navy, and it's sort of the reason why the Navy has set up this office within the Secretary of the Navy's office to deal with this problem.
Is this more of a Navy problem than it is a Air Force or they didn't really have a sense?
From the indications that I have, it's a problem all across the armed services. It just happened that today we were at this conference
Center, right.
Focusing on the presentation by the Rear Admiral and then this nice lady from the JAG office. But it really says an awful lot that they're concerned about this and concerned
tight
about
quarters on ships or subs.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh,
it's
yeah.
tight quarters. So
and you know, think about the corrosive effect on morale, you know, if they don't deal with this. They depend so much on soldiers and sailors who volunteer for the service, and you know, it undermines the effectiveness of the service if people feel like they can't serve without being the subject of harassment.
More tomorrow
on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris and on federalnewsradio.com.
Thank you, Max.
Anytime, Chris.